Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
Today we find ourselves in Edinburgh. We're looking at technology today, and one particular piece of technology. For anyone who has a disability, crossing a road can have, well, various different problems. And if you're blind or partially sighted, how do you find the button to cross the road? How do you know if the green man's on and it's safe to cross? There are some crossings which are accessible, but finding the pole can be a bit of a tricky one. I know that from being a guide dog owner myself. We have with us Gavin Neitz, and Gavin has come up with a rather novel technological idea. Technology is normally something complicated, but this is very straightforward, very simple. Gavin, tell us first of all a bit about the idea behind the Neat Box. What kind of switched the light bulb on in your head?
Hi, Alan. Good to see you again. I am a guide dog mobility instructor, and I've worked for guide dogs for the last 18 years. And every single day I was going out and working with the people that I was helping with, the guide dogs, I was seeing them get to curb edges, certainly pedestrian crossings, put their right hand out in a vain hope that potentially it might be there, and then realise they had to take a few more steps, or it was back against the wall, or it was back on the left-hand side, or it was obscured by some signage or another person or something like that. So I thought, wow, there must be a better way of doing this, especially in this day and age when there's such an amazing amount of technology out there. So we had a good look around. I got involved with Scottish Enterprise. I asked Guide Dogs for the Blind if I could take a year out. They very kindly agreed that that would be a nice thing to be able to do. Obviously, having worked with them for 18 years, they felt that I might have deserved a bit of time off. It didn't turn out to be time off, because I've probably worked even harder than I ever have in my entire life in trying to put this together. Ultimately, what we did was we looked for, as I say, a wireless way of touching or pressing the button so that the person doesn't even have to find the pole.
Finding the pole is your first difficulty. You know, finding a crossing, it can be pretty tough, even if you find the tactiles, the poles, perhaps not always in the same place, as you said. And not all of the crossings are accessible either.
There's lots of reasons why that would happen that way, but ultimately our cities were not designed for blind people. They're designed for sighted people, and then all the solutions are retrofitted for everybody else on top. So you end up with nothing that really suits everybody. And I was listening to a TED talk the other day. I think it was Chris Downey, who was a chap who'd gone blind in his 30s but was an architect. And he said, if only I had known what I know now about how you design cities, I could have designed cities that everybody could have used. And he was referring to the fact that as a blind person, he understood what blind people now needed.
You obviously have an understanding of what's needed being a guide dog mobility instructor, and you've seen the difficulties that people have. So where did you start to think, okay, how can I make this easier? How can I make it simple? Because, you know, I'm a guide dog owner myself, and I use assistive technology. You're out with the dog, you know, the dog's in one hand, you may have your phone in the other. Was that the kind of idea? Well, you've got a phone, could that work?
We wanted to be able to press the button without having the phone in your hand. We wanted it to be able to be pressed automatically. I think I've said to a couple of people, what you're really doing is you're giving the person a stick so they can press the button from a long distance, but doing it without giving them actually physically a stick. We want to be able to get to exactly the right point to cross the road. Now, for a guide dog owner, that would be in the middle of the tactile paving, with your dog sitting at your side, waiting to get the command forward from you. If you're with a long cane, you want to be squaring off so that you're at right angles to the crossing. But also, if you're in a wheelchair or mobility vehicle, you're also not wanting to be 10 foot back from the road edge, because you might have to deal with a slope, you might have to deal with hitting it at a right angle. You kind of want to be able to press the button from a distance.
You can press the button from a distance, and many crossings will have, you know, the audible pelican. They may have the cone, if you can get near the box, which spins underneath to let you know when the green man's on. Some don't. So how do you get over that one?
Yeah, well, this was a big issue, and we noticed that some crossings, they have the audible signal turned off all the time if it's even been installed, but you also have a crossing where the audible signal is turned off at a certain time at night. And that's obviously, if there's a residential area, they don't want people pressing the button at 3 o'clock in the morning. And in that situation, there's a tactile cone underneath the box. And a lot of your listeners will already know that, but there's a lot of people out there that don't know about this tactile cone. The tactile cone revolves when the green man comes on. However, if you've then got to get from the tactile cone to the curb edge, get your dog to sit or square off with your long cane, it's a real challenge, and it also increases the amount of time it takes to cross the road from the start of the green man. One of the things that was in the press a lot last year was extending the amount of time people have got to cross the road. But we must take into consideration how much time it takes to prep and to get to the point where you start crossing the road. If you've got 10 seconds set to cross the road and it takes you an extra 6 seconds to set up, that's 16 seconds. And if you've only got 10 seconds to do it, you're rushing. You're rushing, there's an increased chance of tripping, there's an increased chance you might not even want to use that crossing because you feel under pressure. And that means our society becomes less inclusive, less accessible. Changing that around without necessarily increasing the time to cross the road is possible. Having said that, anything is possible when it comes to software. We've been looking at even increasing the amount of time to cross the road purely because the crossing recognizes you need it by your phone communicating that to the crossing. So extending the time because it knows who you are.
Smartphone technology really is leveling the playing field for visually impaired people. I use an iPhone myself and I use apps and it gives me so much access to things I never had before. But that's only part of it then. How do you begin to put the pieces of this technological jigsaw together to get it to work?
Yeah, well, when I first started looking at the technology that was being used, I was thinking it was all going to be manual and you would need to have raised buttons and things. But the more I looked at what Apple were doing, the more I realized that there was a potential for people to use this equipment. And the more I looked at that, the more I started realizing that people were coming to me to train with their guide dog and they were already using smart technology. And I thought, well, if they're already using it, I've got to learn about it. And I started really learning about it in my guide dog training classes. And I was learning. They were teaching me. And the more I learned about it, the more I realized what Apple were doing. The more I realized that there were organizations like, well, companies like Samsung were also doing this with things like TalkBack. And Microsoft are now making inroads into using this equipment as well. So the future is going to be all these organizations thinking, we have to do this. They're following Apple's lead and they're saying, it's got to be done. This is not an easy solution. There will be lots of people that have to get involved in actually researching, dedicating time to actually making this a viable solution. And not every single crossing is the same, as we know. This is not going to be a one-size-fits-all. There will have to be lots of different ways of doing lots of different things. Ultimately, the solution still remains the same, pressing the button without actually having to press the button. If we can find a way of doing that, and I've already got a way of doing it, if we can find a way that's going to do that across the board, then we've got a viable solution.
You've managed to put together the neat box. You've got all the manufacturers and so on to look at the technology. You have a working setup, which we're going to look at a little bit later. But that must have taken a lot of time to pull all these people together to perhaps get the message across to them that here's a problem, here's a solution, would you like to be involved?
Yeah, I was very lucky at the start. I got involved with Scottish Enterprise, Napier University through EDTC. They put me in touch with hardware and software developers. I was very lucky to work with X Design in Edinburgh, very lucky to work with Soft Edge through in East Kilbride. And these companies then helped me come up with a solution that was going to be viable. We now have the ability to put kit into the pedestrian control box, and we have the ability to write software programs that will press the button for us.
What stage is this at now? In fact, how long has it taken you to get to this stage?
4 years from first being pushed into this by my entrepreneurial friend. He said, you've got to do something about this. He'd already set up several businesses himself. He knew that he could help me. He became my non-executive director. He kept pushing me and whipping me and saying, you've got to get on and do this. Luckily, having met with Scottish Enterprise, I was then put in touch with the professionals. That's been 4 years in total. However, I only started my sabbatical last October, and I've been doing this full time ever since.
And you have a working prototype up and running in Edinburgh?
I do indeed. I'm hoping that you have a chance to see it today.
I'm not the first one to try it, though. What's the feedback been like so far from people who've used it?
The MSPs came along and actually trialled it. Some people from RNIB came out, had a look at it. Scottish Enterprise came. Social Investment Scotland came along and had a little look as well, as did a couple of other accessibility charities. And there's been some very, very positive feedback. And people recognise that this is something that is the next step. We've got mechanical tactile cones. We have got digital crossings, but have we got accessible digital crossings? The answer probably no is no at this time. Can we take it further? Yes, I believe we can.
Okay, well, let's head outside. We'll head down to the crossing in Edinburgh, which is near our dynamic Earth, and we'll give it a try.
Great.
RNIB Connect Radio is here.
Well, here we are, Alan. We are about 40 foot away from the crossing. What we'll do is we'll start up the application. When we start walking, it'll start looking for pedestrian crossings. When we get within a certain distance, it will find the crossing for us and press the button. In this version, we're pressing the button automatically, but in any other version, we could quite easily just say, wait until I've pressed the button on my phone, or wait until I get really close to the crossing before you do it. But this will press the button for us. We just take up position at the crossing and then wait for the signal.
Okay, Troy, the guide dog is ready. Let's go find the crossing and see if we can cross safely.
Great stuff.
Radio for the blind and partially sighted community across the UK. RNIB's Insight Radio.
Okay, Gavin, so Troy, the guide dog, is ready. The crossing is nearby, so what we'll do is we'll start Neatbox and we'll see if we can find the crossing. So I have the iPhone here with voiceover on. We have the Neatbox app on, and I'll just scroll down the screen.
Vibration. Start button. Start scanning for crossings.
Okay, so I'll tap the start button to start scanning.
Start. No crossings detected. Scanning for nearby crossings. Crossing detected.
Okay, so I'm going to walk towards a crossing. We'll get Troy to find the tactile. And without finding the post to press the button, we'll see how the software performs. Troy, forward. Straight on. Find a crossing. Good boy. Find a crossing.
Signal crossing. Dimmed. Crossing received signal. Wait for green man.
Okay, Troy, the guide dog, has found the crossing for me. We're standing on the tactile and Neatbox has recognised the traffic crossing. It's pressed the button for me and it's told me to wait for the green man. So we'll see how long that takes and then we'll see if... And that's the green man sounding. Let's go. Straight on. Sit. So there we go. We've crossed over the road safely. Gavin, can you just confirm with us, as you're the person with the eyes here, that when it started beeping, the green man was on?
It was indeed, and I can confirm you crossed over safely.
Did I cross as good? You're a guide dog mobility instructor. Was that a good crossing?
Yes, it was one of the best I've ever seen. I've never said that before.
Radio for the blind and partially sighted community across the UK. RNIB's Insight Radio.
So, Gavin, we've had a try of the Neatbox. It worked extremely well. I think as someone who is visually impaired and who uses a guide dog, you know, I can immediately say that this would be an invaluable tool in the toolbox for me. You're at the stage where you have this working prototype. Where do you go from here and how do you go from here?
Well, as a business, as a small business at this time, I've invested a lot of my own time and money into this. But ultimately, this is a large idea. This needs larger organizations to come in and say, no, we can do something with this and take this further forward. I'm looking for people who are interested, but at the same time, I'm also looking to get feedback and advice from the people who are using it. Getting involved with a lot of the organizations and charities where we can start putting pressure to say there is a problem. Ultimately, when I first started into this area, I was being told by people there wasn't a problem, because they didn't understand how people were using these accessibility options. And that's the bottom line here. People do not know there is a problem unless you tell them there is a problem.
It sounds, Gavin, then, that, you know, we looked at the technology side of things, which you think would be probably the hardest thing to develop and to fine-tune to get to the working prototype. But it sounds as if actually convincing people that there is a problem, there is a simple solution, and saying, you know, this is how we can do it, you know, come on board. Because anyone with a visual impairment could tell you, yeah, that's a huge problem. It's a safety problem.
From organisations that design, organisations that install, governmental organisations. And my question to everybody has been, who uses the tactile cone? And the answer, 100% of the time, has been blind people. And then I've pointed out to them, it's not. It is long cane users and guide dog owners. There are no other independently mobile blind people. If they don't know how guide dog owners and long cane users access this kit, how could they possibly design it for them? And that's the bottom line here. They needed to learn about who was using it and how it was being used.
The traffic crossing itself is there to provide safety for anybody crossing a road.
Yeah, for sure. We are living in a world where 1 in 5 people in the UK today will live to 100 years old. Now, we might say this is an accessibility option for somebody with disability, but we're going to increasingly be in a society where people are going to be 70, 80, 90 years old. They might then have all of the things that go along with that. Glaucoma, diabetes, all of these things are going to affect these people as they get older. Just lack of mobility will affect a lot of people, a lot more people. We need to make sure that our cities are accessible to everybody, because that's the lifeblood of our country.
Just finally, Gavin, if people would like to find out more details about Neatbox, how do they get in touch?
They can check out the website at neatbox.com, or they can contact me directly, and I would encourage you to do that. I'm very, very happy to get feedback at neatbox.icloud.com. Thank you very much indeed.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.